Jim Cozumel joins us from Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area, host of Chronicle Live, someone I enjoy working with. Jim, nice to have you with us today. How are you?
Oh, I'm feeling great, boy. What an exciting time. We're about to continue to move along. And boy, this is something for the Bay Area right now, Marty.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's not the Phillies, it's not the Braves, it's the Cardinals again. And this is, you know, 87, the Cardinals, 2002, the Cardinals. And you're looking at one of those franchises. When they come in with a lot of baseball history. You can't find the period of Cardinal history, like 8 or 10 years, when they weren't any good. And when you go back there, it is literally, literally the sea of red. You'll never say the Cardinal fans were sitting on their hands.
No, no, no. Great, great baseball fans down there in Missouri and in St. Louis, and they just love their Cardinals so much. It really is a regional team, not just in Missouri and the St. Louis area, but you just start to spread out. You'd go over 500 miles or more in all those bordering states that just love that Cardinals team. And that's why I think this series, another reason I think this series is so exciting, is that you've got two teams with recent history that's so tremendous, but you just elongate that history out. I think the TV executives have to be excited about this. I think the fans should be excited about this. But it's great when the last two best teams in baseball square off and you get to see what happens next.
So what's the storyline here? And, you know, you want to pick out a storyline. Is it Carlos Beltran, who it looks like one of these postseason players for the ages? Cardinals, Giants, last two World Series champions. What do you see the storyline being in this one?
Well, I think you've touched on two big ones, and those, I think, are the ones that jump out. Obviously, the last two World Series champions, it's really neat to see them. The pieces are a little bit different as you continue to move along, even from one year to the next, including the managerial position on the Cardinals side. But I also think that piece of Beltran, who does have a connection to the Giants because he was brought in last season to keep that hope alive from the 2010 season. And everyone thought, well, finally, Brian Sabin and the Giants have stepped up and made that big, bold move to bring in a bat. And Beltran, while he was hurt for part of the time, he didn't succeed in carrying this team to the next level. But here he is with the Cardinals. Now he's helping them, and he was tremendous in the ballgame. What a comeback by the Cardinals, which I think only should open Giants fans' eyes. If you get a lead, don't sleep. You stay into that game, baby. You stay into that game because the Cardinals will keep coming back. But, yeah, Marty, I think those are the two biggest storylines, and I'm going to be interested to see how Beltran performs in this one because I think he's got to believe that in some ways he failed in his small effort with the Giants. And you wonder if there's going to be some internal pressure for him to show everyone just what he can do in a key important playoff series.
Yeah, I think there will be. I do. And I'll tell you another storyline. And, you know, you're going to be – I'm going to be working with you on Chronicle Live this week. Yep. I know a number of times. I'm looking forward to it. The other storyline is the way both of these teams got here. The Cardinals given up for dead, really, in Game 5. I mean, you know, I was doing the show last night, kind of watching the TV and commenting as the comeback was happening. I'm trying to figure out how the Giants do against Ross Detweiler. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, I'm sitting here saying, hey, who's going to pitch game one, Lance Lynn? So the Giants come back from the 0-2 hole. They win three straight. The Cardinals come back from defeat, and they come back with one of the biggest comebacks ever in an elimination game, being down 6-0, 4 in the ninth. And when maybe we're looking at two Cinderella honeymoon kind of teams going at it, maybe that's part of the storyline.
Yeah, I do think that you're right, that there are two teams that don't have a lot of quit in them. There are two teams that just keep going at it, and no matter what the scenario, I don't think you count either club out. And you're right, as I watched the game last night, you know, I was at Comcast, I was doing a Chronicle Live last night, and the score was 6-0, and you're thinking, all right, I know my work schedule now because Washington's going to win, and I know what I've got to do. By the time I get home, the rally had begun, and by the end of it, my work days have already changed. In fact, we're just geared up and excited that things are going to get going. And the question now for the Giants becomes, how important is Mad Bum's start in Game 1? Because they haven't had home success very much this year.
Right.
And it's obvious in the playoffs they haven't had it. And so that first game back at AT&T, I think that's going to be a pivotal game for some early momentum in the series. It's not just going to be a win for the Giants. I think it's going to be an exhale moment where they realize once again, hey, yeah, that's right. This is our ballpark, and we should own it. So I'm really going to be watching closely in Game 1.
They need a well-pitched game from somebody.
Yes.
You know, this
yes.
time of year, it's the Jack Morrises of the world, the Smoltzes of the world, the Jason Schmidts of the world. You know, the big people step up, the Verlanders, the Sabathias, and this five-game series chewed up the Cardinal pitching staff pretty extensively. Giants are in a little better shape, but somebody has to take the ball and say, okay, I'm the guy. Is it Kyle Loesch? He may be the best pitcher on the Cardinals staff. We won't see him probably until game three. Who's it going to be? Who's that one guy who's going to take the ball and maybe win a game seven or a game six when you have to have it?
You know, you wonder if Tim Lincecum's moment is starting to come around after having such a disappointing year and after having so many questions. Remember, Marty, there was a time that the question about Tim Lincecum was, hey, Brian Sabian, are you considering sending him to Fresno for a couple of starts just to regain his confidence? Remember, that's where the conversation had gone, whether it's right or wrong. It happened for a brief amount of time because I remember it. I was a part of the darn conversation at times this year. And now he's got a roll going, and he had a nice moment out of the pen, and then a nicer moment out of the pen. And I think the belief is starting to be, and right or wrong, we'll have to wait and see, Marty, but I think some people are starting to see small pieces of the freak from a couple of years ago. Not as dominant as he was a few years ago, but a level of confidence where maybe the demotion in the first round has lit the fire. That's refocused Tim Lincecum. So maybe that's the turning point in this very series.
Could be. No, he could be a very, very big part either out of the pen, because both these bullpens, Affeldt gets hit a little bit, but the others, Romo does really well. You want to get the ball to the bullpen by committee. And maybe Lincecum is the guy to do that a couple of times, or maybe he gets the ball in game four and it's a huge start. You could be up 2-1. You could go to clinch it, or you could stave off elimination. Who knows? You could be down 1-2. Maybe he gets the ball in the biggest game of the year. So, yeah, he'll be a story in this one very, very easily. Jim, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say that that's going to be an arguing point, I think, until we get a definitive answer on Tim.
Yeah.
In that I talked to Scott Osler yesterday and Mark Purdy, where the argument is, yeah, he's got to start one of the games. I countered by saying, yeah, but Tim's been successful out of the pen. You know that this equation seems to work. Leave him in the pen. So I think there's going to be a nice argument on both sides of the coin on that one.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Barry Zito's sort of in the wings. That's why I think he stays on this roster. What about on the offensive side? Posey, MVP, of course, just amazing what he did in the Cincinnati series, throwing out Brandon Phillips at third base to keep it at one run. In that first inning, it ended up 1-1 into the 10th. It was huge that he got Phillips. He got the single to start the winning rally, then the grand slam. Other than Buster Posey, who's your guy?
You know, I'm not going to steal your guy because I know you.
you know who he is.
A lot about it. Yeah. I know who your guy is. Angel Pagano. Right. You can make arguments for him. There's no question about it. But you know what? There does have to be another run producer.
Okay.
There's no question. There needs to be someone else who drives guys in. And I don't know if that guy is going to be Pablo. And I don't know if that's the guy who seems to have rallied everyone and gotten them into a fever pitch. And maybe that's Hunter Pence, a guy who I think if you asked him, he might say, yeah, maybe I did underperform since I came over here from Philadelphia. Maybe this is his time to shine. But I've got to say, you can't just rely on one guy in Buster Posey in being your key run producer. You need Pablo or Hunter Pence. One of those two guys has to start to step into a consistent role of driving and runs, Marty, and that's what I would look for.
Okay, great answer. Jim, thanks so much. Looking forward to working with you this week.
Yes.
This is a good week of baseball, let me tell you. Giants and Cardinals, two great franchises. Have a good afternoon, and I'll see you at the park.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it, Marty.
All right, a pleasure. Good. I enjoy working with Jim Cozumel. Of course, he's here on KMBR as well on Saturdays. When Pat wasn't here and did a lot over the summer. Good man. Well, he knows his stuff.